greatest band ever.
Let's open our Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 19, please. Luke chapter 19. We're going to continue along the same vein of thought. That is, let's have a rock concert. So that's what that song was about. And in case you want to know what the title of that song is, it's A Whole Lot of Love. How many of us know that in God's family, we should have a whole lot of love? And we should have that background music. Anyway, Luke chapter 19, please. And like I said, the title of this series is Let's Have a Rock Concert. So we're in Luke 19. Let's begin reading with verse 37. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the whole stones would immediately cry out. Now, we said last week that, you know, how we read that passage and we kind of overlook it. We don't, it doesn't register with us. We just simply say that if we humans cannot praise God, he will make inanimate objects of his creation praise him. How many of you know he is able to make inanimate objects of his creation to praise him? In fact, John the Baptist told some of the Pharisees, some of the same Pharisees, that if, because the Pharisees said, you know, we are of our father Abraham. And, you know, John the Baptist said, you know, God is able to make of these stones children for him or a people who would serve him. So, you know, basically what he was telling the Pharisees and the Sadducees, don't think you're hot stuff. Because God can raise a people out of nothing. How many of you believe that God is able? Right? Now, what if the rocks would cry out? What would the rocks be saying? What would the rocks be saying? Now, we said last week, and I'm going to repeat it this week, that some of the great Bible events happened, listen carefully, happened on rocks, around rocks, with rocks, or through rocks. Some of the great Bible events happened on rocks. We looked at that when Jacob used the rock as a pillow, right? That's clever. I prefer goose feathers, but that's beside the point. And we saw around rocks. We saw that rock that Moses was to do what to it so that water would come out? Speak to the rock. But what did he end up doing? How many times did he hit it? Twice. Thank you. He called that place Meribah, bitterness or grumbling. Okay? And then we said through rocks, and we're going to see that this morning, or with rocks. Some of the greatest Bible events. So we said that if the rocks could speak out, what would they be saying? So let's begin our rock concert this morning. I'm going to interview a couple more rocks. These are different rocks than the ones last week, and you'll see the shapes and such. And so this morning, I want to begin with a bigger rock. Wow. Feel that, Connie? Is that big?
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
It pays to be at the gym a little bit.
Yeah, it does.
Right? You want to feel it, Lyle? It's a big rock. It's heavy, isn't it? Yeah, I thought so. Okay, so we're going to interview this rock. Put it on my left hand so we can interview this rock. You guys just play along with me, okay? All right, rock, you are here this morning, and I believe you want to cry out to the praise of Almighty God. Is that right? Brothers and sisters, I humbly stand before you, God's holy people, to give testimony and to testify of God's goodness. For you see, I was a rock that was firmly placed on top of a massive wall in the city of Jericho. And this wall existed for a long time. No one could enter the city, and no one from within the city could leave. That's how fortified this wall was. That is, until the day when Joshua instructed God's people to march around the wall, the city, 7 times. So day 1 passed by, day 2 passed by, day 3, and then on the 7th walk around, they blew a ram's horn, and with that ram's horn, the people collectively shouted out loud, and the next thing I knew, I began to shake on top of a wall. It seemed like there was an earthquake from the very foundations of the wall to where I just began to topple and fell down to the wall, to the ground. The next thing I knew, I saw an Israelite's foot stepping over me, because you see, they tore down the wall by the power of God and through simple obedience of a shout. Now, what does this rock say to us this morning? This rock tells us that no matter what walls there are in your life, that God's power is ultimately greater than any fortification or any strength of any wall between you, and listen carefully, and the promises of God. Perhaps there's a wall between you and the promises of God for peace, for inner peace. Perhaps it's hard for you to lay your head down on your pillow at night and just peacefully go to sleep. Maybe your mind runs over and over. Anybody ever had that? So you couldn't sleep because your mind's just going and going. You're telling it to shut up. Next thing you know, it's 3:30 a.m. and it's still going and going. And yet, how many of us know that God is a God of peace? Amen? Are we connecting, church family? See, our minds were not meant to keep going and going and going. God gives us peace and rest. And maybe that peace seems so elusive to you. It seems maybe so aloof and so far off that it seems like there's a big wall between you and what you desire and really what you need at night so that you won't wake up cranky in the morning. How many of us know that we of God's people can be also cranky? How many of us know that we as God's people can have bad days? And let me say here, church family, listen, everybody deserves to have a bad day. Amen? Amen? Thank you, Melvin. But, you know, my family, we all have real emotions, and sometimes peace is elusive, and how great it would be and how nice it would be if I could just get a good night's rest. Maybe it's peace. Maybe for you, it might be your health. Maybe it is our health. Maybe there's a wall, a fortification between us and enjoying better health. How many of you would like to enjoy better health? I'll raise both hands to that. Amen? I would love better health. We could all enjoy better health. Amen? How many of you believe that God can tear down walls that keep us from having and enjoying better health? Amen. Amen. Now, maybe there are different walls. There's a wall of hatred. There's a wall of prejudice. There's a wall of being distant from a loved one. You know, I was listening to a Christian television program, and they had Elizabeth has a cute girl. I mean, I know her husband. I mean, I don't know him personally, but I know who he was. He was a quarterback in the NFL. But anyway, she was talking about relationships and how when she went to, she and her family went to the Grand Canyon, she said there was a wide chasm between their place of overlooking down to the canyon and the other place that you could look down on. And then she makes the correlation that sometimes that's what some relationships are like. There's a wide chasm. There's a canyon between you two. How many of us know that God is the God of reconciliation? He can bring love into a situation. You know, and even as I'm talking about this, there's one of my kids. She doesn't talk to me, no happy birthday. And I just keep praying, church family. I open my heart to you so that you know that I'm not talking to you from a perfect ivory tower. I'm talking to you from an everyday experience. And there's that wall in my life. But I'm believing God that with time, you know, whatever wounds were dealt on either side, that God's going to mend that and heal that, and we'll be back active in our lives together again. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you, brother. Rock number two. Rock, we have you here at Locust Grove Church, and you have a testimony. So what say you? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that though I'm now a smooth stone, you want to feel it? Is it smooth?
Pretty good.
Though I'm now a smooth stone, I once had a lot of edges in me. And one day I was lying, and I had been lying on the edges of a bank of a brook for a long time until a gully washer washed me down into the brook. And there I was for a long time, allowing the waters to smooth my edges away. I thought I was useless. I thought I was just an edgy rock on the bank of a brook that finally fell in the brook. And now I'm here to testify that God can use anybody that God prepares and calls. He doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. Isn't that a good message? How many of you would consider yourself unqualified? I consider myself unqualified. But he didn't call me because I was such a great guy. Gosh, I'm not going to talk about how I was when the Lord called me. I was running away from my call. And I thought, man, if I give in to the calling, I'm going to have to be celibate. Is that too honest?
No.
Okay, thank you, Miss Connie. And then I found Jesus in my life. Well, that's not the rock talking. That's me talking. I found Jesus in my life, and I thought, man, God honors marriage. Thank you, God. All right, so back to the rock. So, rock, what say you? Well, I was in that brook thinking, well, I'm a better rock for not having edges, but I'm not useful, until a young shepherd boy came to the brook one day. And he picked me and four other smooth stones. And he took me to the battleground, where there were Philistines and their champion mercenary giant named Goliath. This champion had slayed many a man through battle. The Philistines hired him out to be a killer to other peoples, and he had several notches on his belt. He was 9 feet 6 inches tall, and just the armor that he wore weighed 100 pounds. And there was this young shepherd boy that, though all the other Israelite warriors were hiding in foxholes in terror of this giant, that this young boy went up and decided he had had enough of this giant defying the God of Israel. So he put me in a sling. You see, David was a slinger. I didn't say a swinger. And David began to sling me, and I went, and released me, and up I went to the giant's forehead and buried myself there. And the next thing I knew, I was stuck to that giant's forehead, and he began to sway back and forth, back and forth. He dropped his sword, and he was discombobulated, and the next thing I knew, he fell face forward and face planted the ground. He was dead. And what's this rock telling us this morning? God can use anybody to do his work. How many of you believe that? How many of you believe that God can take a stone with edges on it, smooth it out with time, and use it to accomplish great things for God? Amen? How many of you consider yourself, maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, well, I'm just like that stone that's edgy. I don't think I have many gifts. I don't have many talents. Joe, what can God do with me? Maybe God can use you to influence your nieces and your nephews. Maybe God can use you to be a blessing to your neighbors. Maybe God can use you to reach out to people out of kindness, people who desperately need something, people who are crying out to God. I've said before, and I'll say it again this morning, on the other side of your obedience is somebody else's miracle. Amen? Just don't disqualify yourself. Don't disqualify yourself. Last rock. You guys liking this message?
Yes.
You like the rock concert?
Yeah.
All right, Connie, feel this rock. Ew. Feel the edges. Is it edgy?
Yeah.
Is it sharp? It's sharp, isn't it? Sharp?
Yeah.
Sharp, Mel? Melvin?
Yeah.
All right, rock, what do you have to say? Brethren, I was in a region of the Gadarenes, and no man dare treaded in that area, for you see, there was a madman, there was a demonized man that had 2,000 demons inside of him. And this madman would take me. And at night, especially when the moon was full, he would cry from the tombs and begin to use me to cut himself. For you see, I have bloodstains on me. And he would cut himself to drown out the inner pain, the emotional pain, the spiritual pain. So he inflicted physical pain to try to drown out the inside pain. How many of us know, church family, people do that today? It's called self-mutilation. They'll take a razor blade and they'll cut themselves, their skin, to inflict physical pain. Why are they doing that? Because they're trying to drown internal pain. That's how bad some people are off. And he would cut himself and he would cry out and he would cry like a man who has lost his mind. He would bawl like a baby, and then in a sudden turn of emotion, he would begin to growl and begin to be so mean. There were some brave men, strong men, who had the idea to bind him with the toughest metal at that time, which was iron. They took iron chains and bound him, and they were strong. But he was stronger yet. And he ripped apart those iron chains from himself. No man could contain him. No man or group of men could contain him. Until one day. For you see, that was a feared region. It was well broadcasted abroad that there was this man and few people went there. Jesus got out of a boat. And behind Jesus were 12 scared disciples. Getting out of the boat. Jesus walking ahead of them. They're like. And they were scared because they had heard of this man. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes this tormented human being. Runs to Jesus. Gets on his knees in front of him. He said, "Son of God, do not torment us before our time. Please, please, please let us stay in this area. Please." Jesus just looked at him. And they began further. "Please, let us go into the hogs, those 2,000 pigs on the side of the hill. Please." Jesus asked him what the name was. He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. And then Jesus said, you have my permission. Go into the pigs. And off these spirits went. And then the herd of 2,000 pigs begin to run wild. They begin to squeal loudly. They begin to with a shrill and a squeal so defined that it would cause the hair on the back of your neck to stand on end. And they finally drove the pigs to drown themselves in a lake. And there was Jesus with this man alone. And all of a sudden the man begins to look up, ravaged physically, but for the first time he was in his right mind. He began to think rightly. He pleaded with Jesus, Jesus, please, let me follow you. Let me be one of your disciples. But Jesus would not have it. Jesus said, no, go back to your hometown and tell them what God has done. And I'm here to testify, church, to tell you that Jesus can deliver the worst kind of people out of their pit. Amen? The rocks are crying out, church. The rocks are crying out. What's that rock saying? Listen, there's no one too far gone. Maybe you have a relative. Maybe you have a cousin. Maybe you have a sibling that is deep into drugs, into the drug addiction. And they can't break it. And they cycle. They feel the compulsion for that fix. And when they get that fix, then all of a sudden when the high is over, they feel terrible about themselves. They're overwhelmed and flooded with guilt and shame. And so they make all these promises to themselves. Never again, never again, never again. But that very shame drives them to medicate yet again with the same drug. And they say, they live through a cycle. And many, unfortunately, church family, cycle through this way until their death. But there's a Savior. There's a Deliverer. And Jesus is His name. Amen. Amen? And there is hope for the worst addict on planet Earth. No matter what addiction, if it's pornography, if it's lust, if it's pride, if it's jealousy, if it's hate or bitterness, whatever addiction, Jesus can break that addiction and bring someone to their right mind again. Can we give Him praise this morning? Let's take a praise break. And Father, we just give You thanks. We love You, Lord. We thank You that nothing is impossible with You, Lord. The rocks cry out. Father, help us not to let them cry out without our crying out to You in praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.